When I was growing up on a farm in Iowa, sounds seemed either quiet or loud. There was no nuance to my childhood ears, the quiet, the soft murmur of the high school football game heard about 5 miles away on a still night, the stillness after a snowstorm when the sunlight bounced off an expansive sheet of fresh snow, the world only a visual with no discernible sounds. The silence of family members as their eyes were glued to the television, and the loud injunction to be quiet if we children interrupted. The loud, the roar of grain augers and tractor engines you couldn't hear people speak over, the thunderclaps during those awe-inspiring Midwestern storms, the bellowing from weaning calves at night as they huddled together, separated from their mothers for the first time. It wasn't until I neared my teenage years that sound began to acquire nuance. Watching Reba McEntire on country music television on Sunday mornings before going to church, listening to Iowa State men's basketball games on the radio as my family drove home from our junior high games, sometimes held 45 or 75 miles away, recording country songs from the radio onto my cassette player, we could, from our farm, really only pick up a few local radio stations, all playing country music, Paul Harvey, and Trading Post, in which listeners called in looking to sell or buy an item. And later, alternative rock. Who can ignore or forget the voice of the Cranberries, Dolores, or Reardon? On my portable CD player, or with my best friend while playing Final Fantasy III on the Super Nintendo. Punk ska concerts, poetry slams in college, the beats of tub thumping at high school dances long before I began to drink. It wasn't until I began teaching writing for a few years that I began to see sound as a pedagogical and composing tool for college writing. In summer 2009, I assigned my first sound-based assignment. Students had written a literacy narrative that had to question or challenge a common assumption about literacy. I asked them to remediate their essays into audio essays. I remember listening to these audio essays on my blue iPod mini as I drank coffee outside of a local coffee shop and wrote feedback to the students. It was the most enjoyable grading I've ever experienced. I just sat there and enjoyed student work for 3 hours as I wrote responses to the students' lovely projects. I can't claim that assignment was radical or pushed the practices of composing far, either at that time or now. But this moment opened up a world of composing and teaching writing and the power of sound as a mode for student composition. I've later assigned podcast episodes and other sound writing in my courses, and I've come to see sound as more integral to all composing than I have in the past. In grad school, I wrote best in coffee shops, with ambient sounds helping me to focus on the work in front of me. And later, as a professor, I started writing at night at bars, as the day was too packed with teaching and admin work and meetings. I'd occasionally get interrupted by someone who would ask how I could work somewhere so loud, talking, cheering at the football game on the television, the clinking of glasses, the occasional dropped and shattered glass, all became part of the ambience of my writing. Rhetoric is about movement, and what better way to move than with sound?
You know the rest of the story.